Welcome to another episode of the Piney Pastors Podcast. I'm Steve Haupt, and to my right is...
That's me, Jason Myers. And to my right is...
Nathan Smith. And to my right
is Brian DeLay. And to my right
is Steve Haupt again.
And to his right... We're not going to keep going.
Jason, there's a difference between trying to be funny and being funny.
You have to show me. Teach me, Steve.
All right, I will.
Can you catechize me on that?
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
We recently, on a recent Sunday at Piney Ridge Church, during our Sunday morning gathering, we had a gathering dedicated to family discipleship. And as a follow-up to that, the preacher on that particular Sunday mentioned several times that one of the things that is important to do with our younger kids is scripture memorization. And we also mentioned catechisms. And so we thought that we would tackle that subject today, the subject of catechisms and why they are important. What are some resources that we can turn to and how that can be beneficial in discipling our kids. So we'll start off with the idea of what is a catechism and why we maybe associate that with churches that are more traditional, more liturgical, and maybe we might shy away from them because of that connotation that we might have for it. So what is a catechism?
Catechism is it's just a way of teaching and learning doctrine, truth. So the word for catechism means to teach orally or by question and answer format. So you ask a question and you answer it, and the point or one of the goals of it is to memorize both the question and the answer. And in so doing, you have when you learn a whole set of these question and answers, you have a sound theology.
So give me an example of a question and an answer that might be in a catechism that you would teach your children.
Like the first one for the kids that we have taught our kids is, who made you? And the answer is, God made me. And the second one is, what else God make? God made all things. Why did God make you and all things? For his glory. So there's the first three question and answers of the children's catechism. So you can go on from there and build upon it. And it can be, there's several different versions or kinds of catechisms. There are some catechisms that aren't necessarily only for kids, or at least we wouldn't consider them to be for kids today because they're more full, robust, deep, and they're really helpful. Like the Heidelberg Catechism is a really good one. But as it is in itself, it has to be kind of trimmed down. Because the Heidelberg Catechism is something you're supposed to do every Lord's Day, every Sunday. But some of those are helpful to be broken up because there's like five or six questions each Sunday for some of these. So in our worship book, we have the Heidelberg Catechism, but we just do one question and answer each time for each week.
Why do a lot of people associate catechisms with, say, the Catholic Church?
I don't know the answer to that question, Steve.
Well,
I assume that it's probably because the Catholic Church uses catechisms. However, I don't necessarily know the history of catechisms, at least not any further back than the Reformation. So, Jason, do you know if the church was using catechisms prior to that time?
Before the Protestant Reformation, Christian catechesis took the form of instruction in the memorization of the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the basic knowledge of the sacraments.
Uh-huh.
I'm reading that from a website right now.
Uh-huh.
And it was used in the Middle Ages. Starting in the first century, there are practices of, I mean, even from the New Testament, we see there are certain almost creedal forms in some of the scripture mm-hmm. that people memorize and use. But Martin Luther, in his small catechism in 1529, was kind of helped popularize the current form of catechism that we use as far as the question and answer format. And so it kind of exploded during the Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of catechisms and creeds, I think maybe one of the reasons why it's often identified with the Catholic Church is because not only they've been doing it for a long time, but they require it for all their children before they are able to take their first communion.
Yeah, so I guess in this area, there's still a significant Catholic community. So a a lot of people, if they grew up in the Catholic Church, went through the confirmation process, and so they still may associate that. It's not a word you really hear anywhere outside of the church, catechism.
We'll go catechize something. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when we start talking about it, people go, what's this?
So what do we see as some of the major benefits of going through catechisms, particularly with our children?
Well, it's really challenging to, like, if you have, say, six children, ranging in age from 13 to 4, you know.
Pulling numbers off.
Yeah, those are just random numbers. But it can be challenging to lead your family in a time of family worship in a way that connects with all those different age ranges. But a catechism is one thing that can help to bridge that, because we can all memorize, you know, a question and answer, and then the younger ones may be it. They memorize it. They don't have a whole lot of understanding, but they have the words, they have the knowledge of at least just kind of the bare framework. And then with the older ones, they can memorize that, but then you can also have deeper discussions about the meaning, go to different passages of scripture. Because I guess it's important to say, maybe we're assuming it, but that all of these questions and answers are based on scripture. So the questions are questions that scripture leads us to ask, and then the answers come from the Bible. So as you go through a catechism, it gives you the opportunity to talk about things in a way that is more structured and allows you to go systematically with your kids, where instead of, I think a lot of, it seems like a lot of teaching for kids focuses on stories, the stories, you know, of the Old Testament heroes and so on. And the best kind of teaching like that gets to the gospel, gets to Jesus as the center of the Bible. And so that's good, but catechisms help to put the pieces of the Bible together. I mean, they really are a systematic theology. So, and I'm really only familiar with the Westminster Catechism and the Heidelberg a little, but both of those build. So I would assume most catechisms are structured that way, to where they start out very simple, sort of, at least in their, you know, the Westminster is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So it's simple, at least, and it's very broad. It's not a simple idea, but then it kind of builds from there, and each question builds on the previous one, and so it kind of unpacks, you know, if we talk about Christ as Redeemer, then it unpacks in following questions, how is Christ our Redeemer? Christ as our Redeemer, Christ as a prophet, priest, and king. So then the next question is, well, how is Christ a prophet? So systematically unpacking biblical truths.
And I would say that while they're intended to be memorized, I think there's still benefit for us and for our children, even just when we use them as teaching tools. I think the memorization of it can prove beneficial long term, because you have it in your head, and it gives you a, as you said, a framework from which to build upon, and almost like you're building a bucket of which to fill with meaning. But even not having memorized all part of it, you know, every part of every answer, question and answer perfectly, there's still a good way to teach systematic theology. It's still a good way to teach truth about God and about the Christian life. And so most catechisms will go through the attributes of God, talking about the work of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. They'll go through the doctrine of man and his sinfulness and God creating him, the Holy Spirit and how he works, go through the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and many other things. And so you learn, and also every good catechism will not only be based upon scripture, but will have scriptural, they call them proofs. So there's like an evidence from where this came from. So you'll be able to use that even further by digging into scripture if you so choose.
Jason, you mentioned an easy catechism, Who Made Me, Man, and Nathan, Who Made Me.
Well, yeah, you know.
That was the catechism that was the I learned in public school. Right. Who Made Me, God Made Me. And Nathan, you mentioned that you have a wide range of children, and Brian even has a wider range. Nathan, when you're doing family worship and you're doing catechism, do you all do the same one? And then you just discuss it in different depths with different age groups? Is that how that works?
Yeah, we do the same one. We've done different ones, which I don't know if it's the most helpful way to do it. It's just what we've ended up doing. So we've done a simple one. And then most recently, we started using a book called Training Hearts, Teaching Minds by Star Mead.
It's two R's in Star.
Mm-hmm. And it goes through the Westminster shorter, which is, by our standards, long, but there's a longer one.
You know, she also has another one on Heidelberg Catechism.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. So it goes through Westminster and has it's set up to study each question for a week. So there are teachings and scripture readings with each day of the week as you go through each question. So we've been doing that with all the kids. What that looks like practically is like last night we went through and it takes us more than a week to go through a question because we'll miss days and some of them are longer and it takes us longer just to memorize them. But as we were going through it last night, and to be honest, I don't remember what the question was. But
your kids probably do.
Yeah, they probably do. But the older kids asked a lot of questions. That's one of the benefits of it, is that it stirs up, at least for us, a lot of really good questions. So they were asking about, you know, where Jesus was before he was born and did he always exist? And so we went back to the question and answer. It says, you know, how did Christ become our Redeemer? And went through it. But so I'm explaining to Noah, who is 10, this answer to his question. Allie's sitting on my lap going, are we done yet? When are we going to be done? So, because she had already memorized the answer to the question and she wasn't really tracking with the rest of the conversation. So she was patient to sit there, but she was ready to be done. And sometimes I'll just send the younger ones off and say, hey, we're going to talk for a while. You can go play because you're checked out anyway. And so that's kind of what we've been doing lately, is just the younger ones check in for as much as they can, and then if we're having a discussion that goes beyond their attention span, then they just check out.
Yeah. Brian, I felt like I cut you off a while ago when I asked a question. I thought you were about to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've shared before about how Kirsten and I several years ago had come to the realization that even though we had been in the church for many, many years, that if someone were to ask us what we believed and why we believed it, that we would not be able to give a solid biblical answer. And during that time with our children who were much younger then, it felt like we needed to do a lot of catch up and really fast. We needed to learn ourselves and then and teach our kids. It was sometime later that I really discovered catechism and found that it's a great way to teach your children truths of God's word and teach yourself. And mm-hmm. So you mentioned the range of ages with children, and I would say that applies both to the wide range of ages of children and to the adults leading as well. It's a great opportunity to learn to play catch up as mm-hmm. was in my case.
Yeah, I was made aware of the benefit for myself of catechesis when I was going through an apprenticeship with, or someone was going through an apprenticeship for Piney Family with me, and we have an exam, a theological exam for our Piney Family leaders as part of that process. And one of the questions is in that exam is something like, what was Christ's work, or what did Christ come to accomplish, something like that. And there was a good theological answer given by this particular apprentice who will remain unnamed, but it was very focused on one aspect of Christ's work. And I think it's the aspect that as evangelicals we would typically focus on. It was on his atonement, his propitiating work, and it was all good in that aspect, but I knew from catechism that Christ as a redeemer is a prophet, priest, and king, and so that answer was totally focused on Christ's priestly work, and so I was able to look at it and go, well, actually there's more that Christ did and is doing in his prophetic work and in his kingly work. And so for me, that kind of highlighted that catechesis helps us to give more glory to God for who he is and what he's done, because it helps us to see more of, I mean, in that aspect, we can worship Christ for his priestly work, but when we understand that he's also a prophet, and we dive into and begin to see more of what Christ has done and is doing now as a prophet, it leads us to worship him more and more, worship him more truly for who he is and what he's doing and what he's done.
I think, too, it's funny that catechisms were originally intended to teach children theology, and they were meant to be basic and foundational. And yet, most people, most Christians today who would read through a whole catechism would go, well, I don't know half of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just the reality of things. And yet, I don't think it should discourage us or keep us from it, but instead, just the opposite. We go to our, when we go to read our Bibles, when we go to listen to a sermon, when we go to sing a song, when we go to live life, and we have this foundation of this truth that we've been helped to learn through Scripture and through the catechism process of teaching us the doctrines of Scripture, it makes it all more alive, more real, more mm-hmm. practical, more helpful. It's sometimes, if you just know, if you've heard your whole life about the priestly work of Christ, meaning talking about his atoning work, how he died on the cross for our sins, and if that's the fullness of what you know, it will become often boring or I know that already, that's old stuff. Instead of seeing all that Christ is and knowing more about him and seeing his priestly work in connection with his prophetic and kingly work mm-hmm. and how they fit together and how those themselves are just foundational terms even, and there's more beyond that. And so growth in our knowledge of who God is very practical, but it also just in living, but I think it's really helpful in our heart towards God and worshiping him, loving him more, so that we don't just stay on the basics. You're not feeding your heart. You're not stoking that fire very much. Mm-hmm. You just stay with what you already know.
Yeah, and using the old catechisms for me has been really helpful in remembering that we should expect more of our kids than our culture does a lot of times, or that we do because we're part of our culture. Because I don't think kids have gotten any dumber over the centuries. But when we look at what was expected, or what, you know, centuries ago, they expected their kids to memorize and understand, at least to a certain degree, I think a lot of people look at it and go, well, that's way beyond what my kids could do. But we'll be surprised when we challenge our kids to do something hard, how they will step up and they'll do better than we will. So to use something that's older kind of gives us a perspective outside of our own cultural, you know, setting.
What would you say to a person who would say that using catechism is going outside of Scripture to find our truth?
No, I would tell them, I actually have had somebody ask me before why I use illustrations in a sermon, or why I quote from somebody else, like I quote a theologian or commentator or scholar or something, is because, and I might be paraphrasing John Piper here when he said something to the effect of, we need what is not but the Bible to help us to understand the Bible. We use other people, the Holy Spirit works in through Scripture to teach us and help us to see things, and then people put their thoughts from what God has been showing them to try to help clarify what the Bible says and to expand on it and to give people the practical kind of implications of it. And then to not want to learn from that would be, then we shouldn't ever say anything other than just reading Scripture, because the proclamation of Scripture, preaching of it, the Reformers and the Puritans used to say that the true preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. And if you're explaining the truth of the Bible, it is as good as the Bible itself. And so, yes, while you are, we should never put a creed or a confession or catechism on the same level as Scripture in the sense of what it is, we should still see that it is, since it is based upon and coming out of Scripture, that we need to use Scripture to help interpret and to test it. But it's still really, really helpful. And it would be foolish of us to say, well, the Holy Spirit speaks to me from the Bible, but he can't speak through anybody else. Well, no, I would never say that. Well, of course. Well, then if he speaks through to other people and through them, then we should read what they have to say, especially that it's something that's been so time-tested over centuries. We were talking earlier, this is the 500th year anniversary of the kind of the beginning of what we call the Protestant Reformation, and which from Martin Luther, and who kind of popularized in our standard form of catechisms from 1529. So that's a long time to have the Christian church believing some very essential, foundational, and very important truths, and worded in a very similar way over the years. I mean, even the Baptist catechisms that were kind of based upon the Westminster Catechism, some of their wording and some of the questions and answers are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way for, and sometimes even when we update the language themselves, people take great care in doing so. So there's, some, for instance, there's a new kind of newer catechism called the New City Catechism. Tim Keller and his people put that together, and it's a, you can get, it's a free app. There's a book out about it now. It's really helpful, really good. It's kind of amalgamation of some of the Heidelberg Catechism, the Westminster Catechism. They put it together in 52 questions, so one for each week. And it's really good, but it's also helpful to have some of the older language sometimes, or even just some of the older catechisms, because they're much fuller.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a history there, I think, that you hold to, and we would be committing chronological snobbery to say, well, if it's old, it can't be as good, because we know better now. We know more now. So standing on some of the teaching, actually, I think better analogy maybe somebody has once said is that the Bible is the place we stand on, but catechisms and creeds can be like guardrails to help us to stay on the path, to keep us from falling off one way or the other.
That's good. Heard an illustration, it was a couple of months ago on another podcast. It might have been White Horse Inn, and they were talking about something similar.
Real quick, do you think White Horse Inn ever listens to Piney Pastors podcast?
They must.
They must, okay.
I
assume they do.
Quite just, certain of it, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why they don't quote us on a regular basis
they
just
might.
Amazes me. But one of the guests on there said that if someone asks you to share the gospel with them, if you were to share the totality of the gospel, it would take you days and days and days and days to unpack all of the richness of it. But what do? You give it to them in bite-sized chunks. Mm-hmm. You summarize it. Sometimes you summarize it in a structure maybe that you've memorized, or some people wear a bracelet to remind them, you know, different color represents a different aspect of the gospel or whatever. So we summarize it in bite-sized chunks. It's still truth. It's just summarized. And
That even happens in the Bible. Paul did that in 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah, exactly. And so catechism is the same thing. We're not standing on something that is extra biblical. We're standing on truth that's just been summarized.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as an explanation, it's trying to summarize explanation of Scripture instead of trying to go above and beyond Scripture. It's trying to be a servant of Scripture.
Right.
Catechisms are. Yeah.
So if I hear you guys correctly, I think you're saying to me that catechisms are good to do with our children during family worship, but it might also be beneficial to adults.
It just might.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that actually, you know, we have a plethora of books and products and DVD series out now about discipleship, and a lot of those are really helpful, but for centuries, the church had a plan for discipleship, and it was called catechesis. That, I mean, that's, you know, when people talked about doing discipleship with somebody, they would meet with them, and often, I know for sure in Lutheran churches, I think I heard recently about Presbyterian churches, it was a tradition kind of that the pastor would, in the afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon, would meet with children in the church and catechize them. I think we would probably say that could be done in the home just as well, or more effectively, but I think that, you know, that was discipleship, and that wasn't just for kids, that was for anyone who professed a faith or even an interest in Christianity. They would say, well, let's disciple you, and that's going to look like going through this catechism, at least part of it, you know.
All right, well, so what would you say then to somebody's objection that just the simple memorization of it, especially for younger kids, or trying to be so rigid with it by saying you have to, you know, this is a question and answer, and it's this way, that is it's meaningless, and it seems to be ritualism than just having here's a question, here's an answer, just repeat it after me, say this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Nathan's picture that he gave us of his family worship from just last night is, mm-hmm. is helpful in that. And that Gabriel and Allie, who are 4 and 5, is that their
four ages? And six?
Four
yeah.
and six. Yeah. They're memorizing it, but they're not going much beyond that at their age. But the older kids are engaging in discussion about it. Now, Allie and Gabriel have those words in their head. As I said a couple Sundays ago, I can still remember things that I was forced to memorize when I was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And I remember a poem I had to memorize in fifth grade. And, you know, it amazes me that I still remember those things. And one of these days, Allie's going to hear something. You may never go over that question again in your family worship, but someday when Allie's 12 or 13, she's going to hear something in a sermon or read something in a book. She's go, oh, that's what we were talking about when we had that question and answer in catechism. Because mm-hmm. it's something mm-hmm. that's going to, if they've memorized it that young of an age, it will stick with them. And it's something the Holy Spirit can use in the same way that, much the same way that he uses scripture to spring to our minds at the opportune moment to teach us.
And something, yeah. I think something you said in your sermon about family discipleship, Steve, won't quote you exactly here, but basically that we need to be teaching our kids diligently when we rise up, when we sit down, when we walk out of the way, all the time we need to be teaching them, because if we don't, we can be sure that the world will be teaching them. Everybody is teaching them something all the time. And so not only when they hear a good sermon or read the Bible or read a good Christian book will this maybe come back to our kids' minds, but when they're hearing somebody, a friend or somebody on TV or in a song or reading a novel or something, and somebody else says something that's contrary to what God's word says, that what they've learned. And you know what? I remember in my head some clicks that catechism we remembered said this, and that's not true. And I can take that catechism and I can go back to scripture and see how that's not true. And so knowing what you believe and why you believe it, and I think it helps you think through things in a better way. I was just the other day was wondering about how my kids will be able to base their life decisions off of things. What are they going to decide to do and choose? Every choice they make is based upon something. And we want to be able to give them something, ammunition almost, like materials from which to build their life on and to base their lifestyle and their decisions off of. And so we need to be giving them the truth of God's word, even if that's in this summarized format. So mm-hmm. it'd be great if our children memorized the entire Bible and could explain, at least in a summarized format, each verse. But that's kind of what catechism is trying to do. It's trying to memorize the truth of scripture summarized, explained. But mm-hmm. another real quick resource is TAG, it's called Truth and Grace. And they have sets of memory books, and it takes them per grade or age. I'm not sure. I forget which one. I think they do it by grade, but starts off at pre-K. And there are catechism questions and answers they can memorize, along with different passages of scripture to memorize. And you can kind of check it off as you go. Yeah, it's just one resource.
Is that a resource you can get online, or mm-hmm. something you need to purchase?
Yeah, you can get on. You can purchase it online. I don't know if they have it available like in PDF format or anything online. But Truth and Grace memory books, you can go for Amazon for sure, and they're pretty cheap.
All right. And what was that other book that you mentioned, Nathan, a while ago?
Training Hearts, Teaching Minds, or it could be Teaching Minds, Training Hearts
by Star Mead.
I think I pulled it up on the Google, and it looks like there may be a PDF of that. Training Hearts, Teaching Minds, PDF. Yeah, so that may be available for free.
All right.
On the internets.
Yeah. And as I said, she has
interwebs.
She has another one on, it's called Comforting Hearts, Teaching Minds on the Heidelberg Catechism. Mm-hmm. Now, there will be things, some people have written commentaries. They have written commentaries. It's kind of what it is. Commentary on the catechism. And the catechisms themselves, we might not agree with every answer they give. Like, that's part of the reason why, they had the Westminster Confession of Faith and then the Reformed Baptist folk, wrote the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith from 1689, which was several years after the Westminster Confession of Faith from 1644. And so what they did was some of it was word for word the same. Some of them, they added some things, some they changed some things because they disagreed with their kind of Presbyterian brothers on some areas. And so, but those by and large are going to be really good, solid, mm-hmm. healthy catechisms and commentaries on them.
Does anyone else have a wise word before we wrap this up? It seems like there's no wisdom, no collective wisdom.
We have depleted all wisdom, Steve.
This morning, so we'll send it over to David Neighbor to wrap this up.
Take it away, David.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.